A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good evening. It's 5:30 at KSL. I'm Maria Chaleo sitting in again today for Jeff Kaplan. Well, they should be clear skies, but they're kind of smoggy. 45 degrees downtown. KSL's top story this hour. Utah health officials confirm the state's first patient to test positive for the Omicron variant of COVID-19 today. KSL News Radio's Becky Bruce has the story.
The patient recently returned to Utah from a trip to South Africa. The Utah Department of Health describes that person as a fully vaccinated older adult. They also said the patient received monoclonal antibody treatment and they continue to recover at home with just mild symptoms.
The chief scientist at the Utah Public Health Lab is part of the team that identified the Omicron variant. Dr. Kelly Okeson says they sequence about 1,500 positive PCR tests every other day to find out what variant they're looking at.
We've been operating at this level now for numerous months, and this gives us a very nice, robust surveillance system for the current Delta variants and all the Delta sublineages we have, plus now Omicron and whatever else might be arising in the future.
Ogerson says it can take 8 to 10 days to sequence a virus and get results, but in the case of the Southern Utah patient, they were able to speed up the timeline and get results faster. More than 1,800 Utahns tested positive for COVID-19 in the last 24 hours. That's according to new numbers from the Utah Department of Health. Department said another 19 Utahns have died since the start of the pandemic. Right now, 513 people are hospitalized in Utah with COVID-19. Even with the spread of the Omicron, a doctor at Intermountain Healthcare says it'll likely be safe to travel for the holidays if you take proper precautions. KSL News Radio's Amy Kobabe reports.
The newest mutation of the virus is now in more states, but Director of Epidemiology at Intermountain Primary Children's Hospital, Dr. Andrew Pavia, says travel should be safe for Christmas.
It's always hard to define how safe, but I think that if you use other sensible precautions and you've had vaccine and boosting, you can really begin to venture out.
Dr. Pavia says when you're at relatives and everyone's been careful and gotten the booster, it would also be safe to take the mask off. Amy Kobabe at KSL News Radio.
Our top national stories this half hour. The Pentagon says 11,000 Air Force members have missed the deadline to get their COVID vaccinations.
Unless those Air Guardsmen and reservists get their COVID shots this weekend, they could be discharged. The military also reporting an additional more than 7,000 active duty airmen and women refusing the vaccine. The Air Force, Navy, and Marines plan to discharge those not complying. The Army, however, says it will not promote the unvaccinated or let them re-enlist when their contracts expire.
That is ABC's Andy Field. The 22-year-old man accused of fatally shooting 10 people inside a Boulder, Colorado grocery store last March will not stand trial, not for now at least.
Ahmaud Alyssa has been found incompetent to stand trial for a third time for allegedly committing murder inside of a King Superstore. A judge ordering that he be sent to a state hospital in Colorado. He'll be treated there, and the court is hoping he can be restored to competency so he can eventually stand trial. The hospital will give the judge an update every 30 days. The DA in Boulder says he is confident Alyssa will be restored to competency. Alex Stone, ABC News.
An emotional meeting about racist events that happened at Skyview High School. Some residents tell the Cache County School District racism is far too common, while others say the district's response was inappropriate. KSL News Radio's Paul Nelson reports.
This controversy started on Halloween. One student wore KKK robes but was stopped at a gate. Another reportedly wore blackface on stage. Critics say if the kids thought that was funny, then the district has failed.
At what point do we stop seeing these hateful incidences as innocent individual mistakes?
But others say the video shown at an anti-racism assembly was designed to shame white students and portray cops as evil.
Is that how my open-hearted, kind, loving, gracious, charitable daughter who seeks to help anyone should be made to feel?
Superintendent Steve Norton says the video was not appropriate, but they will teach about the dangers of racism. Paul Nelson, KSL News Radio.
KSL Sports. Utahns are crowding the stands in Las Vegas to cheer on the Utes during their potentially history-making game. The Utes will take on the Oregon Ducks in the Pac-12 championship game tonight. We will continue to bring you updates on the game throughout the evening. Also today, Utah wide receiver Britton Covey has been named the Conference Scholar Athlete of the Year. KSL News Time, 5:35. Ricky Meese saw some big delays out there tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. And we have emergency traffic in two hot spots. The first one began in Draper, northbound I-15 prior to Bangor Highway, a crash with injuries. It's still blocking the HOV lane, and that's causing heavy delays past 2100 North in Lehigh. Then, in Utah County, a crash on I-15 northbound Pleasant Grove Boulevard. That is stacking traffic into Orem. Again, stop-and-go speeds through those delays. Ricky Meese in the KSL Traffic Center.
Coming up on Jeff Kaplan's Afternoon News, Jeff is talking about how Christmas has become an Instagram moment. Jeff Kaplan's Minute of News is up next.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.